Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
All right, we got to get started here. Everybody say vision. Vision is something that I think is just so important and often doesn't get talked about enough. I want to give an example of all the miracles Jesus performed. Think about this. He called Lazarus out of the grave with just his words. Lazarus, come forth. You know why he said, Lazarus, come forth? Because had he said, come forth, everybody dead in those graves would have come out. He had to say, Lazarus. And I love it because Lazarus came out. There was no question as to whether this was going to happen. But do you know the only time, did you know Jesus once had to pray for someone twice? That the first time he prayed for him, it didn't fully work. Did you know that? In Scripture. Jesus once prayed for a man who had no vision, no sight. And when he prayed for him, Jesus asked the question, how's that working for you? What's happening? And this man said, I see men as trees walking, but it's vaguely. And Jesus prayed again. And I thought, if Jesus had to pray for a man to get vision right twice, then I'm thinking we might want to pay attention to this idea of the need for us to have clear vision. And I believe in vision with all my heart. I actually think it's one of the most important things you can do as a Christian. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I just want to say this. We have to make sure that we have more vision for our future than we do our past.
Yes.
And the way which you'll know whether you have more vision for your future than you do your past is listen to what's coming out of your mouth. How much of it is vision, future orientated versus how much of you talking about the past? Amen? I get around some people and I go, could you please stop talking about the past? And I mean, even good things in the past. I mean, I'll give you an example. When you get a new car today, look at the size of your windshield and look how big it is because everything of your windshield is concerning where you're going. Then take notice of the size of your rear view mirror. That's giving you an indication of the proportion of vision to that of your past. I mean, you gotta have something in your past, you understand? Amen? And so, you know, for me, I've got a couple of thoughts about vision. I wanna give them to you real quick. I'll fly through them. Number one, vision doesn't just save others, it saves yourself. Proverbs 29, verse 18. This is probably the most quoted verse I quote in my 40 some years of preaching and ministry. I probably quote this verse more than any other verse that I quote. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I love this story in Acts 27 where the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome, but he undergoes a hurricane in a ship. And the ship is going to get destroyed. And God said to him, listen, Paul, relax. This hurricane, this storm will not be the end of you. And you've got to get to Rome. You've got to stand trial before Caesar. There's more people for you to see. I still have a future for you. I want you to see what I see in your future. Don't get stuck in the storm. Don't think the storm's going to be the end of you. Some of you need to hear that today. It's just a storm. Don't get stuck in the storm. You got to keep looking into what God has for you. Amen? But come on, give the Lord a hand. But here's what the angel said. The angel said, and God has graciously spared the lives of all who sail with you. In other words, because Paul has got vision and mission, Everybody around Paul's life, by the way, there was 276 of them. They were soldiers and they were sailors and there were other prisoners. And they were lucky enough to be spared their lives in this storm because of Paul being in that boat. Without a vision, people perish. Vision doesn't just save you. It saves others. If you don't answer what it is that God has called you to do, not only does your potential and your future perish, but those around you whom God has called you to reach. I remember one time I was flying from Rome to Washington, D.C., and I like turbulence on an airplane. I think it makes the flight more interesting. I actually do. It helps put me to sleep. And like for me, I understand the law of aerodynamics. I know the law of lift and thrust, and I know what turbulence is, and I'm not freaked out about it. I actually kind of find it soothing and relaxing. But this one particular storm, I'm telling you, tornadoes were up and down the east coast of the United States, and the captain on the plane is literally circling, waiting for the tornadoes to move away. The only problem is it's supposed to be about a 7-hour flight from Rome, Italy, to Washington, D.C. We were in the plane for 10 hours, circling, waiting for these storms to go away. And everywhere we went, the storms went up. And I'm telling you, it was turbulence on steroids. It was like food carts weren't fastened down properly and went flying down the aisle. One lady didn't have a seatbelt on and we hit one of those speed, you know, turbulence air pockets. And I saw her neck go up into the ceiling and I heard her neck crack and she screamed. And then another person, the food cart, when it went flying through the aisle, broke a lady's arm. The air stewards, the two flight stewards, were literally crying in their seat. And they're going, "We've never in all my life seen anything like this. I don't know if we're going to make it." And the other airline stewardess said, "Shh, don't let the passengers know we're afraid." And I looked and went, "Hi, I see you. I hear you." And I had a young guy traveling with me. I'm telling you, I've never heard a man pray in tongues like it. He started confessing all the sins that he'd ever committed. He started confessing sins he had yet to commit. And I honestly sat on that plane and thought to myself, everybody on this plane should thank God I'm on it. I've got a Rome to get to. I just left Rome. I've got mission and vision, and I just don't believe for a minute that we can live without vision. It helps you know that God is with you and God is for you and God is in you and God's got greater things. Can I read to you that same Bible verse in a different translation? Look at this translation. This is the NIV. I love this one. This is the second thought. Where there is no revelation or no vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds instruction. Where there is no vision, no progressive revelation, where there is no ongoing revelation, sense of future, people cast off restraint. Isn't that true? If you don't have vision for your life, do as much drugs as you want. If you don't have any vision for your life, hey, get as drunk as often as you want. No vision, eat what you want. But if you have vision for your life, you'll restrain your life to that vision. You'll wear the restraint. You will, and some people say, "Well, we just need more discipline." You don't need more discipline. You need more vision. Amen. I just got to get out of debt. The problem with having a vision to just get out of debt is there is no sense of, it's just getting to zero. You got to have a vision bigger than getting to zero. I just need to lose 5 kilos. Well, the problem with the vision of only losing 5 kilos, what do you do when you fulfill the vision of losing 5 kilo. If that's the only vision you got to put it back on to lose another 5 kilo. But it's the same 5 kilo. If your only vision is to get out of debt, what do you do when you get out of debt? You go back in the debt. Why? Because your only vision is to get out of debt. If your only vision is to get out of jail, what are you doing? 85% of people in America that go to jail end up going back. Isn't it amazing? Without a vision, you go back to your past. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Sharon and I, many years ago, said, okay, we're going to actually get in agreement on vision, on our finances. We're going to get rid of all our credit card debts. We're going to get rid of all of our, the only debt we're going to have is a mortgage. And we're believing God to even get rid of that debt in Jesus' name. So we had to wear the restraints of the vision. So now, rather than when money comes and we start spending on things, we suddenly start paying down debt. The only problem is I love motorcycles. You got no idea how much I love motorcycles. I mean, God is into Harley Davidsons. I said this on Friday night. It is the will of God to own a Harley Davidson. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah, David's son. It's right there in the Bible. And so I love choppers. I love choppers. Choppers are the will of God. Legend, air suspension, fork frame. I'm telling you, big motor, loud pipes. And somebody came up to me and goes, Pastor, I would like to sell you my motorcycle. It's worth $40,000, but I want you to have it for $20,000. Now, the only problem was we didn't have $20,000 at the time. And I said to my wife, honey, think about how much money we'll make. I know we're going to have to borrow money, which is contrary to where we were supposed to be going right now. But think about this. We'll have a $20,000 asset. It's amazing how spiritual the flesh can sound. And I kept saying, Sharon, come on, honey. This is awesome. And it had the paint job on it that I wanted. It had the big 300 mil fat tire on the back. It had the big raked out fork front end. It had the Springer front end suspension. It had the slingshot pipe. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But I'm drooling as I'm talking about it. I said, honey, come on. I know that means we're going to have to borrow $20,000. I know we said we want to get out of debt. And I just wouldn't give up. I wouldn't give up. How many know I can be a little determined? And so finally, Sharon looked at me. Look at the pot calling the kettle black. I have a verse for you, Jared. He that takes a stand, take heed lest he fall. So I finally said, honey, come on, I really want to do this. And this is what she said to me. All right, you can have this stupid bike. All I heard was all right. And then she said, never come to me and say we're in agreement on a vision because you don't practice what you preach. I hate it when my wife uses my sermons against me. She said, you won't wear the restraint of our vision. It got me. I said, honey, you're right. I'm so sorry. I gave up on it. It was a beautiful motorcycle. True story. 5 years later, my friends from all over the world, who I guess I've helped in time and over many decades, all heard that story. And they all got together and they gave me enough money for me to build my own custom-built chopper motorcycle. Can I just encourage you to wear the restraint of your vision? Can I encourage you to have a vision? And you say, well, I don't know what my vision is. Get in a church like this and it will come. Yes. Serve the vision of this house. And I'm telling you, you will learn a visionary spirit. It will get on you. It will get in you. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Listen to this. Vision is written down. This is, I love this verse. Come here. This is all, I love this verse. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the vision, or write down the revelation, and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For though the revelation awaits for an appointed time, it speaks to the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come and will not delay. What am I trying to say here? Vision is written down. I wonder how many people, not by show of hands, but I wonder how many people have a written down vision about your life, your health, your finances, your marriage, your family, your income, what it is that you might believe God to be able to give to the house of God, what it is that you might be able to do with your life, the legacy. I wonder how many, the Bible says you got to have it written down. I remember I went to a guy in the gym and I said, listen, man, at the time I weighed 110 kilos. I said, I need to get healthier, man. I tell you, I broke my foot. I put on weight. I didn't change my eating habits, but I wasn't able to be as fit and as healthy as I was. I had surgery. It was a major deal. And I said, and he goes, well, what's your vision? And I said, well, I'd like to weigh, instead of 110 kilos, I'd like to weigh maybe about 95. And he goes, Steve, you could and you should weigh 80 kilos. And I looked at him, I said, dude, I didn't weigh that since I was in high school. I said, I have no vision for that. I don't want to weigh that. And frankly, you are ridiculous to think I could ever weigh that ever again. He goes, that's what I'm writing down for you. I said, it might be what you write down, but it isn't what I'm writing down. And see, I just realized that I needed a vision that wasn't just about a number. It was a plan. And I had to attach to that vision, to wear the restraint of the vision, not just working out. Unfortunately, you don't lose weight in a gym. You lose weight by what you eat. And the gym helps keep it off. And so today, I remember I'm just going to go to the gym, and I go to the gym 2 days, sorry, 4 days a week for an hour and 20 minutes every day. And it's not because of discipline, because I promise you, I'm not that disciplined. I've got vision. And I just want it to be healthier. I go into the gym and these big guys in the gym come up to me and they go, let me train you, man, you look awesome. I go, I don't want to look like you. I'm 60. I'm just fighting age. I just want to chase my grandchildren and pick them up. That what you look like is too much work for me. I got no vision for that. I don't want that. I don't need that. I just don't want to be that old guy sitting in a chair drooling. I want to be somebody who's alive and healthy and vibrant. And today, I weigh 81 kilos. I'm just saying, you got to write down your vision. You got to have something that's written down, and it's got to be more than zero. Can you say amen? Amen? Next thing about vision is plain. Listen, this says, write the vision down, make it plain. Boy, have you ever sat with somebody who's going to tell you their vision and 30 minutes later, they're still explaining it to you? And you're like a deer in the headlights. You're like, what? And it's like a War and Peace document. And the Bible says a God vision is something that is written down and it's plain. Do you know the vision of Wave Church? It's so easy. You ask anybody in Wave Church, what's the vision of Wave Church? I'd be shocked if not everyone in our church who's been there more than 3 weeks wouldn't know the answer. It's simple. The vision of Wave Church, it's plain. Do you know what it is? Wave Church exists to make heaven party, to make disciples, and to make Jesus known to the world. That's our vision. That's the vision. The Bible says heaven rejoices more over one person that gets saved than 99 righteous people. We, Wave Church, exist to get heaven to partake. Amen. That's what we're on the planet for. And I want to encourage you that you've got to have a vision for your life. It's got to be written down and it's got to be plain. If you can't explain it clearly and succinctly, you haven't yet refined it enough to give it the clarity that it needs. Amen. Here's the next one. It says, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. A God vision. I'm not just talking about a vision for your life, a self-improvement program. I'm talking about a God-given, God-breathed vision. And I want to tell you, vision is something you can run with. It's not so far out there in the future that there's nothing you can do today that's going to get you there. In other words, vision is something you can run with. There's something you can do. See, for me, my vision wasn't just to go to the gym. My vision was to get strong and healthy. And I wasn't going to do, there was nothing I was going to do today that was going to get me what was out there in the future. But there's steps I can take today that'll move me toward my future. Or there's steps I can take today that'll move me away from my future. It's got to be something you can do today. It's something that you can run with. It's something you can put legs to. And it's tiny baby steps that'll move you toward it in Jesus' name. Listen to this one. It speaks to the end. Vision is spoken. Listen, faith is voice activated. You got to speak it. You can't just believe in your heart. You've got to speak it. Do you know, for 10 years, we were looking for a building in the capital of Virginia. We're in Virginia Beach. We're on the coast. But in the capital of Virginia, the oldest state in the United States, first landing site in America was Virginia. And so the Chesapeake Bay, Pocahontas, John Smith, the whole story, it's all Virginia Beach. It all started there. Jamestown, Yorktown, the whole history of America, at least what we know it today. Obviously, there was a history of the Indian Americans before. You understand? And so I was like, God, we want a church in Richmond. That's the capital. And so we, for 10 years, looked for a building. Twice we made offers on building, and twice we missed out on those facilities. And then I said, God, what happened? I've got a vision for Richmond. You gave it to me. And I've tried buying these buildings and I really know you want us to have a building, a facility. The devil hates it when you take land. The devil hates it when the church shows its city that the church is not just here today, gone tomorrow, but it's tomorrow, it's here to stay. And the church ought to be beautiful and she ought to be attractive. And it's saying to a city, the church of Jesus is the bride of Christ. She's alive and she's well. Amen. Think about this. When God made food, it says it was pleasing to the eye and it was good to eat. So I think churches should look good. There ought to be an aesthetic beauty and excellence to it. I look at what I've seen here and again, I see you keep making this place look more and more beautiful and more attractive. That's saying to this city that the church of Jesus is alive and she's well. Amen. Pleasing to the eye. It ought to look good. And it was good to eat. It was practical in its form and function. You got this? So I'm going, God, what happened? And God spoke to me. He said, Steve, he calls me that because that's my name. He goes, did it ever occur to you that I could give you a building? And honestly, I'm embarrassed. I went, no. It never occurred to me that God, you could just give us. I'm looking to buy a building. I'm saving up money and I have money saved up to buy a building. I want to be a good steward. I'm wearing the restraint of my vision. Are you hearing me? And I went, okay, Lord, and I know one thing about vision. Vision speaks. So I knew I had to tell the church, church, God just spoke to me. And he told me he's going to give us a building in Richmond. And the whole church went, we know our pastor. Because when I speak it, 6 months later, we were given a $6 million facility. I was trying to buy buildings. And I just want you to understand something about vision. Vision speaks. Vision talks. And it's not just enough to believe it in your heart and have these wonderful little hopes and dreams. You've got to speak out your vision. You got to speak out what it is you're... Now, you can't say what God didn't say. If you're married and you're saying, God's going to give me another wife. No, no, no. God's telling you to love the one you got. Amen? Are you hearing me? If you're single and you're thinking you're going to meet your girlfriend in a bar and a club. No, no, no. The Bible says be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Yes. So you can't say what God hasn't said, but you can speak. Lord, I thank you that you have a partner for me. I thank you, Lord, you have a house for me. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Vision speaks. Are you talking about what you're believing God for? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's preaching better than we're listening. I give you the last one. I got 1 minute left. Vision lingers. Listen to this verse. I got so many things I could say about this. For the revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks to the end. Though it linger. This is where some of us lose heart with vision. Because it lingers. I love this story of a guy in the Bible. His name's Zechariah, and he's got a wife, and her name is Elizabeth. So we got Zach, and we got Liz. Everybody got it? And the Bible says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and all the ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. I mean, that's impressive to have the Bible to say that about you. That not just you, but you and your spouse. Spouse were both righteous before God, that you walked in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the blameless. Who would like to have the Bible say that about you and your marriage? I got my hand up. And then it says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in order of the course, according to the custom, it was his lot to burn incense. He's just doing what he does. He's a priest. And he's a righteous before God. And he's executing the priest's office before God in order of the course according to the custom. Who's ever driven your car from your house to work and suddenly when you got to work, you went, I have no recollection of driving. From here, how did I get here? Who, like maybe the church this morning, did I stop at that stop sign? Who's been in church and like you hear, you're clapping during the worship, and your mouth is singing words, but your mind is somewhere else. Who's ever done that? I mean, you can be there, but not really be there. So this is Zechariah. He's executing the priest's office before. He's been there, done that. He's bought the t-shirt. Amen. He's done it all. And then an angel comes in and says, Zach, you're going to have a son. This is no ordinary son. This is John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. This is going to trigger the coming of Jesus, the one spoken about in Genesis 3, verse 15. The very first prophecy in the Bible, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil. He will bruise his heel and crush Satan's head. This is the Messiah. This is the one David spoke about. This is the one who God's planned for redemption, salvation of the whole world. But none of this can happen until Zechariah has a son, and you shall call him John, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall be the forerunner to make a people ready. Wow! And do you know what Zechariah says? How can I know this? I'm old. And then it says, he points to his wife, and she, listen to this, is well stricken in years. Imagine saying that about your partner. God, look at them. They're well stricken in years. Do you know what happened? Time stole his dream because it lingered. He believed. Listen to what the angel said. The Lord has heard your prayer. It tells me for many years this man prayed for a child. But now, many years later, he forgot he even prayed the prayer. And when the angel came to say, it's time, he said, how can I know this? I'm old. So's my wife. And by the way, she's barren. Listen to me. Time stole his vision. Some of us go, yeah, Steve, yeah, that would have been good when I was young. But I've been around too long. Time, and listen to what the angel said. The angel said, you shall be dumb, as if he wasn't already. And you will not be able to speak. Listen, because you didn't believe my words. God has got to shut some of our mouths. Because if we let unbelief come out of our mouth, we could mess up the miracle. You will not say another word to the day this boy is born. And when they ask, what will be the name of the child? You will then speak for the first time since now till then. And you will name him John. Don't let time steal your dream. Don't let time steal your vision. Though it linger, wait for it. It will come. Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus, both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.